you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Brady compare. I expected a lot of excitement. I didn't expect Tom Brady comparison.
That was Matt and Parma on the hotline.
Late guy, man.
Hotline.
Yeah, use the coming in hotline. It's right next to the listen live button on your free Odyssey app.
Put it up on the poll. Is it hard not to see Tom Brady?
Don't put. Mitch is going to do that.
He and should then, do it.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't care. I do not care about any negativity that flies in.
It's preseason for the Browns and Shador. It's preseason for Mitch and the poll. Let's go.
So does this change any of the competition with you? Where do you put him on your depth chart?
Well, I was kind of having fun with it, obviously, on Friday night where I said, oh boy, Dylan Gabriel has been Wally Pipped. There is a new third spot on the depth chart in town, and his name is Shador Sanders. So, you know, it's tough. I haven't seen Kenny Pickett. Now, I've seen him in the NFL, and obviously, I think we share in the same belief that the future of the Browns is not in Kenny Pickett.
No.
But I've had people throughout this whole process telling me, like, that you guys have anointed Joe Flacco as the number one. Like, it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Like, it is going to be Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett will be the starting quarterback.
And I'm allowed to disagree with the Browns on that.
Sure. I've disagreed. But, like, there's a difference between am I disagreeing with whether or not I think it could happen or am I disagreeing with the Browns' plan? Like, he was the guy they brought in that was, like, if you look at chronologically, it was Kenny Pickett they brought in before Joe Flacco, right?
Yeah.
So I can't really argue all that much with the Browns did actually use an asset to go get him, and the timing of it would kind of support that this whole thing was supposed to be Kenny Pickett's job. Me and you, once he went down with the hamstring, we're like, oh, it's over.
See?
It's over. It's going to be... So what would they do in response to that? You know, if Kenny Pickett is sidelined for another week plus, which is what Joe Thomas said, then how are we even supposed to talk about him in terms of his spot on the depth chart?
I don't think that they're really, again, with him, what's the spot on the depth chart there? Like, if he's not available, then he's not available. Like, I can't, once he becomes available, then I guess we could talk about him. And once there's more experience to who's going to be playing and who's not going to be playing, then maybe we can discuss it. But as of right now, it's like, okay, out of sight, out of mind. I got two guys that I'm thinking about. I mean, again, Snoop Huntley's coming in just to finish off the game. Yeah. But I got two guys there that I'm already thinking about. Joe Flacco to start the year, Shador Sanders, whenever that starts to get wobbly. The wheels get wobbly on that. Now, it has been one game, and so maybe by tomorrow and Wednesday I could calm down a little bit and catch more reasoning. But I don't know what the reasoning is when all I've heard is that Dylan Gabriel can't cut it as a quarterback in the NFL from the people who are watching him, not just Daryl, but also Zach Jackson has brought that up. And then for Kenny Pickett, who, yeah, obviously I had some negative thoughts on coming in. And if he's not available, all right, well, Shador has shown me something. So no matter what anybody wants to say, then it's going to turn right back into the, well, okay, I guess I have to trust the guy that not a lot of people trust in picking the quarterback to lead this football team. Because if it's Joe, then Shador, I think people can get on board with that right now. But if it were Joe, then Kenny, then Shador, I think you're going to have to do some explaining. 216-474-0092. Nick and Maslin, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well, Nick. Go ahead.
You know what? Shador did look good. Not a big fan. He looked decent. I just think everybody needs to slow down a little bit because everybody raved about DTR the first preseason game he played, and everybody thought Roger Staubach had just put on a Cleveland Browns uniform. He looked good, but you know what? Let's just.
But you
most of those
you,
guys he's playing. Most you, those guys he's playing against going to be bagging groceries
know,
in a couple weeks.
You so know that. Well, how many people actually bag groceries now? It's usually like self serve.
I bag my own.
Yeah,
you know what? you have a point.
Okay, I haven't seen a grocery beggar in quite a long time. So, Nick, let me ask you this. See, there's a difference. Well, let me make this point. Let me make a counterpoint here. There is a true difference between DTR and Shedeur Sanders. Nobody on earth thought DTR should have been a first-round pick. There were plenty of people in America who thought that Shedeur Sanders, people who get paid to scout guys, thought Shedeur Sanders should have been a first-round pick. That's a huge difference.
I'll give you that. All I'm saying is the kid looked good. I was impressed for not having very many reps with the first team. But all I'm saying is it was a competition he was against, and it's like,
Nick, I understand you're coming from a
skeptic.
You're being cautious. You're doing the thing. You're trying to be more responsible, but you started the call up by saying you didn't like him. What didn't you like about him?
Ooh.
No, I thought he was very overrated. I watch a ton of college football, okay? I'm 65 years old. I haven't watched 6 years of college football. I love college football. I love when these guys come out. I love watching them. And I think it's like, okay, you're this guy that way. I was not impressed with Shedeur, Colorado. I'm sorry, really wasn't. The defense they played against, I mean, I understand he didn't have an offensive line, not much running game, but he never really impressed me. He looked solid, but a first-round draft pick, I just could never imagine.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That. But, I just, like I said, love college football, love these guys coming up, love watching them. And it's just, you know what? I've been watching the Browns since, oh my God. Well, like I said, I'm 65, so my expectations don't get too high because they've been pretty much watered down a lot of times. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to sit there and rip on Nick. Thank you for the call. I'm not going to rip on Nick. He obviously needs to win him over. Nick has claimed he watched a lot of college football. Nick's been a caller for a while. I don't have any reason to not believe Nick on how much college football that Nick watches. There is going to be a healthy amount of skepticism as time goes on. Can he repeat what he did? I think from some of the national folks out there, it's going to be interesting to hear what they have to say and how we change some of the things here on this Monday about what they thought of Shedeur beforehand and what they think of him now. And really what they also think of these other quarterbacks. Like with boots on the ground here, I just think, again, there was a lot of things that I liked about Shedeur coming out of college. There was the questions, obviously, about what actually happened, combine, offseason, what went to him going from the first round to the fifth round. But there were still people, obviously not Nick, but there were still a lot of people who break this down for a living, who go, at least in this last class, it was a thin class, but at least in this last class, he could be a day one pick, should be a day one pick. He falls to the fifth round. See, DTR, there's always more skepticism in your mind. There were definitely people who loved DTR. There were definitely film guys who loved DTR. They might run away from that now, but they loved DTR coming out of college. And so they were kind of doing their own champion's pose when he did what he did against the Jets. Nick is right. But nobody thought DTR was going to be a day one pick. People believe Shedeur Sanders could have, should have been a day one pick. So if you have a guy like that, yeah, how can you not feel but get excited? You get this guy that drops into your lap, and you start to tell the same stories that we've been regaled with our entire lives. So I don't know if he's going to turn into Tom Brady or Johnny Unitas or Len Dawson, for that matter, if we're going to go really into historical facts here. But damn it, how can I watch him on Friday and still be that skeptical? You got to be the hater of haters to think that this can't be 100% can't be. It could still go down, but if you think that this can't be successful at all, I guess there's no talking to somebody.
Well, I want to know, because that caller started off the call saying
it was interesting.
He thought he was overrated, whatever. And there were people chirping during his pregame walk-in when that started getting the coverage. That it did, and they did. They said he's got an entourage, really, for the first preseason game. I do want to talk to the people that...
It was his teammate.
But. Yeah, I do want to talk to the people that have had this kind of thought about Shedeur, that, you know, we remember we were getting the calls, and we were talking about taking him in the first round, and maybe number two overall. The Nepo baby stuff, the people that have come in with a pre-developed narrative on who he is and what he is, probably because they maybe never liked Deion, right? Maybe that there was a carryover there.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know, like, man, this guy has shined in every interview. He has been all over the community. He never, while guys like Hugh Douglas said that this is a hostage situation, when all the people said that Browns are sabotaging him and the deck is stacked against him. And by the way, the deck is stacked against every fifth round pick. You know, you're not supposed to really get that many opportunities as a fifth round pick. Like, is he winning? Is he slowly winning you over a little bit? Like, he hasn't complained once. He hasn't asked for anything. He hasn't demanded anything. He hasn't leaked out to the media, or his camp hasn't leaked out to the media how unhappy he is, buried on the depth chart. Fourth. He's fourth. Somebody that came in selling the most jerseys in the draft.
Good point.
Right? Like the guy that had a Nike commercial ready to roll, a Nike ad ready to go the minute this game was over. If ever there was a guy who you could see start to shout that he doesn't like the way he's being treated, he hasn't done that. He hasn't done that at all.
He's on the team that everybody would believe it, too.
Oh, yes.
He's on the team that everybody would believe it. I mean, there's only a few teams out there that people would go like, okay. No, like, he's on a team that people would believe it. And he's at every opportunity to fuss and bitch, or at least or leak it out there, fussing and bitching, and he hasn't done any of that. Even like he was talking to Aditi in the waning moments of that game on Friday.
Said he played subpar.
And he was critical of his own performance. He's been very, very, very careful. He knows how some people perceive him, and he's been very, very, very careful to not do anything to ruffle feathers.
How is that not winning people over?
That's
the one thing I'm confused. How does his approach and how he has
preconceived
at least
notions.
Okay, that's fine.
Preconceived notions.
I've had preconceived notions about guys, and yes, I'll be stubborn, but eventually, like, you can't deny, like, this kid is doing what's asked of him, and he's competing, and speak softly, carry a big stick. It was actually his teammate that was carrying the big stick as he walked into the stadium. But I what an awesome start. What an awesome start. Like, I'm not ready to call him Johnny Unitas either, but what an awesome start.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.